You're listening to The Sean Salisbury Show. Follow the show on Twitter at S. Salisbury Show.
Yes, you sure can follow us on Twitter at The S. Salisbury Show. And you can get our next guest from basketballinsiders.com on Twitter at Eric Pincus. That's P-I-N-C-U-S on Twitter. And Eric joins us here on The Sean Salisbury Show. He's a friend of the show, and I'm sure he is worn out after this NBA season. Eric, welcome, my friend. Good to have you back on. Eric, you there? No, Eric. Okay. Gosh, I gave such a good intro, too. Hey, Eric, great to see you. Eric Pincus will join us here in a second.
Yeah, you gave him a good compliment,
man. Efforting.
I love when you say efforting.
He works his butt off, so I'm anxious to have him on.
I saw him in the press room last night.
Yes.
Asking LeBron about super teams, as you brought up.
Yeah, he...
Fair question to me.
A very fair question.
Yeah.
LeBron didn't like the question, gave him an answer, well, basically gave him an answer that none of us agree with.
Yeah, it was almost like, well, he lost to the Warriors, and the Warriors, if you want to say they're a super team, they were a better super team than any super team that LeBron's ever put together.
It's like a Batman versus Superman, man. We've seen it. One wins, one doesn't. It happens.
Right, and almost like if you're LeBron James, like you should feel proud that there's other super teams in the league because you made this trend okay. He paved the way for players to do this. We never saw
You're a pioneer, LeBron.
Yeah, we never saw this
Hey,
until LeBron.
Be careful what you wish for. You got yours, and somebody else has got theirs, and they may get theirs about three or four more years
it's
in a row.
Copycat league.
We are joined now by our man from BasketballInsiders.com, Eric Pincus. Eric, welcome. I know you're tired, but I'm also sure that you can't wait till the offseason hits, too. Thanks for joining us again, my friend.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I was talking, but never. You did a great intro. I heard it, and I spoke, but then you're like, no one can hear me. But
I confess.
Eric, I can't be tired.
We'll blame it on somebody else. It's not your fault, man.
But I can't be tired because we've got the draft coming up.
Yep.
We've got free agency, summer league. I'm going to be in Las Vegas teaching a class over around there. So this is just the start for me. Man, it was fun, though. It was great to be in Golden State when they won. I don't root for any team, but it's fun to see the home fans get what they want, and that was pretty spectacular.
No question about it. Eric, you asked a question about super teams to LeBron. None of us are buying his answer, are you?
Yeah, I got tripped up midway because his look when I was asking the question was, I mean, he was perplexed when I was saying that he's been a part of two super teams, and I don't know how you claim that. I mean, what they did in Miami, that was a super team. Remember, he was on stage saying not one, not two, not three, all that, right? And you have Ray Allen join the group, right? So now you've got four all-stars, and they end up winning the title. I mean, that happened, right? I mean, I'm not going to pretend it didn't. And if you want to argue that Kevin Love is not a superstar, and if that's how LeBron feels, sure, maybe it's not a super team. Maybe it's just him and Kyrie and a role player in Kevin Love. So, but come on. I mean, he got out-supered by a tremendous super team. And LeBron, come on now. I don't know. Maybe I caught him off guard. I'm used to guys not liking the question and then just answering it the way they want and answering something else. But I just didn't really expect that kind of response.
He always seems to be chippy when it doesn't go his way, even though he's a great player. And I think it rubs a lot of us the wrong way. Even though we want to compliment him on his game, it still drives you crazy. And it was definitely a worthy question and one that is a fact. He's been on super teams, and he's the one who basically started this stuff. So you got to deal with it. That being said, let's say he retired today. What's his legacy?
He's one of the greatest who ever played, and that's something. I mean, where he is on that, he's got a seat at the table. You look at someone like Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, certainly Bill Russell, guys who have more titles than he has. He'll never catch Michael as far as perfection, right? Magic went six times, won them all. You've got Kobe Bryant on that list. Kobe's got five titles, right? So where is he in relation to Kobe? I mean, Kobe had a better track record, but Kobe also played with Shaq and Pau Gasol. I don't know where he is on that list, but that's what's great about who he is. He's someone who is on that list. He's one of the best players. If you put him on the Warriors instead of Kevin Durant, I mean, my Lord. I mean, as great as Kevin Durant was, the best player in this series was LeBron James.
That being said, Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Eric, I'm sitting here trying to look into my crystal ball in the three-year future. I don't, as good as he, I pick Cleveland to win this. I don't pick against the best player in the world, just like I will not pick against the New England Patriots this year until Brady proves me different. So, that being said, but I look at the Warriors, I look at the contracts, I look at the team, and where's he getting his next championship? How's he going to win this?
Yeah, the challenge for the Cavs is that they've got a tremendous payroll. They'll probably have the highest payroll next summer, or next season, rather. And that's Love, that's Kyrie, that's LeBron, that's like guys like Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert. So if they were to make a trade, because they won't have cap room, right? They'll have limited ability to add a player, maybe, you know, $5 million here or there. It may be a trade. And so you say, well, you're not going to trade LeBron, and you can't trade Kyrie. Those are your two best players. Those are your stars. And I don't think you're going to get much for Amon Shumpert or J.R. Smith, so then it becomes, you know, maybe Tristan Thompson, or really the guy that jumps out is Kevin Love, who I've never loved as a fit with LeBron. I mean, I feel like they play the same position, but LeBron is better. And so the question is, what can you get for Kevin Love, and what team wants to rebuild around him? I don't see him, like, if you send him to Indiana for Paul George, I don't see Indiana doing well rebuilding around Kevin Love and Miles Turner. I feel like that's not a suitable path to say, okay, this is how we're going to build the next 5 years of our franchise. I feel like Love needs to go to a team that's competitive, and he could be a part of an important team, but how do you get someone really valuable back Indiana, for the Cavs? And that's the position they're in.
Yeah, Indiana would be stupid to make that trade. Okay, I'm with you. I look at the – and if I'm LeBron, you know, as you put this team together, you kind of put the coach in there and went out and got Deron Williams and Korver with this team. And I look, and he should be pissed, Eric. I would be. Think about it. Kevin Love, other than a couple games, was non-existent on the offensive end. Shumpert might as well have just sat down and not played a minute. Deron Williams looked like the guy we picked up at the gym who'd been out of basketball for 9 years, and we picked him up because he was somebody's best friend and brother. And Tristan Thompson decided to show up about game four and play a little bit. If you're LeBron James, I'd be irritated too, because that bench was embarrassing throughout the series.
Yeah, I mean, not just the bench, really. It was outside
and starters,
of Kyrie.
Yes.
Yep. You had moments.
Yep.
There were moments, and certainly game four where they all went crazy. But it's a shame, because in the last 2-3 minutes of game three, they hold on to that, and they play like they did in game four, and it's a competitive 2-2 series, and it's a whole different outcome. But Kyle Korver, I mean, you're there to do one thing. You've done one thing your whole career, and that's to hit open threes. And you have that wide open look in the corner in game three that you've got to hit. You have to hit that shot, and he doesn't. And then there were key moments in last night where the ball goes to Korver. He's wide open. He's taking that three. I mean, that's what you're there for. This is the moment where you hit those shots. You have to be unconscious. And it seemed like he would make one out of four, and I don't know the numbers. But, yeah, maybe he'd hit a shot, and if you total him, I don't think he shot a very good percentage. I'm not looking at any of those stats. But just by the eyeball, Korver didn't step up. Love didn't step up enough. Thompson, as you said, didn't show up until late. He didn't get the help he needs, but equally, they were playing a better team.
Right.
And sometimes that's just what it is, where the better team is going to take these role players and push them down where they're not able to deliver. So it's not just those guys didn't step up. Some of it's just the Warriors were just dominating them.
Yeah, better team. Eric Pincus, BasketballInsiders.com, joins us for a couple more minutes. You know, this is going to sound odd, but is Steph Curry underrated?
Well, he's a heck of a player. I think what we've seen in the past is that teams can you know, really blitz him and make sure that no matter what, he's not the guy who gets open. And then you see, because they run screens and stuff, so there's always a point where he's open. But some of those games where they're really banging into him, they're really paying attention, then he'll rush his shots and he'll feel like if he doesn't get it off quick. And a guy like him, he has such a quick release. He can get those shots off, but he'll shoot like 5 for 15 or something like that. But then you put KD on the floor with a guy like Steph Curry, and now suddenly you can't just throw everything in the kitchen sink at Curry, because now you have KD going crazy. So there were some games where Steph wasn't as assertive, and then when KD asserted himself, now Steph Curry's getting a triple-double, or he's getting a double-double, he's getting a ton of assists, and he's playing out of his mind because he can relax. He can take those shots without that kind of rush and that kind of panic. So playing alongside KD brought out, I thought, the best with Steph Curry, and that's the whole point. It's a team game. I don't think Curry is someone who could do it by himself, as great as he is. I think LeBron is someone who can almost do it by himself, more so than Steph. But I don't think KD can do it by himself either. If there's a one-man wrecking crew, it's LeBron James. And we just saw that even he can't do it by himself.
Eric, with going into the, we talk about legacies, and heading into the season, what were your feelings on Durant? And now coming out of this championship, what are your feelings? Are they the same or are they different now?
I'm happy for him. He's someone who really believes in the team concept and at times can apologize for being the best player on the floor because he doesn't want that spotlight. He wants it to be about team. But he talked about this postgame. I think it was Andre Iguodala who pushed him to being himself and to be great, and that's what made the team great. So it has to be about you. That said, I'm not in love with what he did as far as leaving Oklahoma City, fine. Going to a team that had just done what they had done the last 2 years, it felt like a shortcut, but admittedly, they don't win it without him this year. So I have mixed feelings. I don't think it's wrong what he did. I don't blame him. I don't hold a grudge against him for doing it. I don't love it, though.
Wouldn't we all have done it, Eric? Eric, wouldn't we all? I mean, for the most part, whether it's a player or anybody in our job, me and you in our careers, and I'm with you at first, it kind of feels dirty, I guess. But in truth, what's the one thing we'd say about him if he'd have stayed and never won a title? You know what we'd be talking about his legacy? A great player, but never won a title.
Right.
So I'm just one, and I'm with you, I get it. But why do we begrudge a guy for going and making his life and his championship finger, put a ring on it, and making his life and his career better?
It's like you want to think, like, if Magic couldn't get okay, Jerry West is the great example, right? Jerry
yep.
West kept getting beat and beat and beat by the Celtics. He didn't go and then sign with the Celtics. And I know the rules were different back then, but he didn't demand a trade to the Celtics and then go beat the Lakers or beat anyone else by joining. So there's a certain amount of that where, and maybe that's idealistic and maybe it's just unrealistic. KD went after something. They wouldn't have gotten it without him. They weren't the champs last year. They wouldn't be the champs this year without Kevin Durant. And so he went out there and did something special, and he should be celebrated, and he will be celebrated, and forever he'll be a champion, and he earned that. It wasn't handed to him. There's still a part of me that doesn't love it, and I don't know if it's irrational or not, and I don't know if it's going to go away. So I don't know if I have an answer to your question.
It doesn't have to be rational, brother. That's why opinions are awesome. Hey, about 30 seconds left. Will Fultz be the first pick next week?
I think they'll go Fultz. I think he's a good fit with Isaiah Thomas. I think he's a good replacement for Thomas in years to come as Thomas ages out. He's about 28, so he's still got some good time ahead, but I think Fultz is a good number one pick. Not sure what happens at number two. Everyone assumes it's Lonzo Ball, but the more I talk to people, the more I have a lot of friends around the team, in the team. I'm starting to feel like maybe Ball isn't their guy. So that's the question. Is it media hype, or is there substance to it, and what do the Lakers think?
Well, that'll be a shocker for some in L.A., and quite frankly, a shocker for LeVar Ball if that doesn't happen. And I think a lot of us kind of want to stand up and cheer if it doesn't happen, and I'm a Laker fan. Eric, we appreciate it, man. Get some rest while you can, and I know with summer basketball and the draft and the rest of it in free agency, you got a lot to do. Great job covering it for us this year and being a guest on our show. We appreciate it, bud.
I appreciate it. Anytime. Thanks, sir.
That's Eric Pincus, and great insight. And I think a lot of people feel like he does, guys, and we're going to come back with the wrath. I'll give you my feelings on it as I wind up my NBA thoughts for the year. But I think a lot of people feel like he does about Kevin Durant. They just don't feel relaxed about
genuine
what he did. Yeah, I think it bothers him. But I don't begrudge him for it.
And real quickly, like he brought up Jerry West. Remember, Jerry West was part of the recruiting pitch, and he told Kevin Durant that if he had a better opportunity in his day to go somewhere else and win championships, he would have done
it.
And
here's the difference, too. Kevin Durant wasn't traded. What was Kevin Durant?
Free agent.
Thank you. Free to choose. That's why we set the system up the way it is.
And also what rubs people the wrong way, and it doesn't rub me the wrong way, this is the right decision, is the fact that he won it in his first year, unlike LeBron and Dwayne Wade, where LeBron was awful in that finals.
Congrats to the Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant. Wrath of Sean next.